Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for all that you have done in our lives. You are a good God. Lord, you are with us each and every day, even though we may not know it or sense it, Lord. We thank you for your word, your inspired word, Lord, that has lasted throughout the centuries. Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts today, that your truth would continue, Lord, to go out into all the nations. Father, I pray for those who are on their way up here and for those who are listening online, that you would be with them and be with us today. We thank you that we have the technology, Lord, to be able to broadcast your message beyond these doors, Lord. In your name I pray, amen. All right. So we're in Psalm 46 this morning. And so while y'all are turning there, I'm going to go ahead and begin reading our psalm. The title of the psalm, it says, "To the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to the Alamoth, a song." And again, the Alamoth is just a musical or liturgical term, so we don't fully know what that means in the translation. It's a song, obviously. Verse 1 begins by saying, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage and the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." So we started the series almost a year ago, believe it or not. And y'all have kept David and I around to keep us teaching. And if you still keep us around, we'll still be here about 2 years going through the Psalms, if we continue on the pace that we're going. So as we consider our psalm, there's a famous hymn that was written by Martin Luther that was written according to this psalm. Do y'all know what that hymn was? Yeah, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." So I'm not going to read the hymn, but I encourage y'all to read it. There's a lot of truth that we can be reminded of to encourage us, especially in this age. But our text begins in verse 1 by saying, "God is our refuge and strength, and very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear." But if we look at these verses, and if we were honest with ourselves, how many of us truly believe that God is our refuge and strength? I would like to believe that for myself. How many of us tell ourselves every day, "I will not fear. I know God is with me." And then 30 minutes later, we're in that same pit of fear again because of a difficult situation that came up. I'll be the first to admit that's me. So if our God is our refuge and strength, if He is our very present help in trouble, then why do we still feel like we're in trouble? And by in trouble, the author means experiencing suffering. Shouldn't our troubles be gone? The Lord is our help. And obviously not. The answer is no. But consider Psalm 145, 18 through 20. It says this, "The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear Him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy." What is this preservation? What is this help that the Lord provides? Does this mean the Lord will keep His children from harm, or from hunger, or from loss? Obviously, that's not the case, because we still experience those things. Now, on the flip side, the Lord's help can be the prevention of those things. He can prevent us from harm. He can prevent us from getting into a car wreck. He can prevent us from hurting ourselves. He can prevent us from losing something in our lives by providing financially. So all of these things are an example of the Lord's help, but that's not always the case. He can't allow us to lose things such as a house and everything that we own. He can allow us to lose our health. So it must go beyond that. It must go beyond these temporary things. So we cannot say that it is always the case, because we still live in this fallen world and in this broken world. His preservation and help are more than just temporary fixes to a temporary problem, but it is the preservation of His children's soul unto eternity. That's what He wants. For the sake of what? For the sake of His gospel being proclaimed among the nations. He wants others to be able to look at our lives and see Christ proclaimed. It's not about our problems being fixed, but it's about His name proclaimed. That's what He wants. And what are the desires that the Lord fulfills? Psalm 145 says that He hears their cry and saves them. Well, are we crying out for healing and the Lord hasn't provided? Well, did the Lord not hear our cry because our healing wasn't given to us? Did He not help us because we're still suffering? We're still in pain every day. And we don't know why. But on the contrary, He does help us even when the help that we want is not given. It isn't about the help that we think we want or the help that we think we need. We must remember that our God's ways are much higher and much broader than ours. He sees every point in time at the same time and knows exactly in that moment and the moments to come the exact help that we need in that moment. So the help that we think we need is not always the help that God knows that we need. So the desires that He fulfills are not ours, but they're His. They're His desires. But we're selfish sometimes. But what about Jim and Elizabeth Elliot? If y'all know their story, Jim died at the end of the spear while proclaiming the gospel to the Aka Indians. Did God help and save Jim? What about him? What about Elizabeth? What about Elizabeth's cry for help when He took her first husband suddenly and her second husband slowly because of cancer? did God help them? What was the Lord's help to them? Well, it's the same help he gives to us. It's the promise of his Son to preserve us unto eternity. I'll tell you, Jim's death was a help for Elizabeth because it emboldened her to share the gospel to those Indians. It emboldened her to go to those Indians and it saved their souls, the very Indians that killed her husband. Without that death of Jim, I don't know where Elizabeth would be or what she would have done. And those Indians would probably still be lost. So God did hear her cry. And he heard the cry of Jim. And as Martin Luther says in the very last line of his hymn, the body they may kill, but God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. What he does do is that he gives us the strength and he gives us the help each day to persevere in the midst of pain and in the midst of suffering. Even in the for the sake of what? For the sake of his gospel. For his name's sake. The death of Jim Elliot was an emphatic display of God's ever-present help. He used it to make his name known. I'd like to read you what the commentator James Montgomery Boyce has to say about this psalm. He says this, God is our help, even if the worst imaginable calamity should come upon us. This is what verses 2 and 3 are about. As the psalmist imagines the return of chaos, in which the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, thus reversing the work of God on the third day of creation. Sometimes life is like that. The foundations of our established worlds are shaken, and chaos seems to have come again. And he goes on to say, I seldom read these verses without thinking of Elizabeth Elliot. She suffered the loss of two husbands. The first, Jim Elliot, was killed by Aka Indians in Ecuador while trying to reach them with the gospel. The second, Addison Leach, was slowly consumed by cancer. In relating what these experiences were like, she referred to this psalm, saying that in the first shock of death, quote, everything that has seemed most dependable has given way. Mountains are falling, earth is reeling. In such a time, it is a profound comfort to note that although all things seem to be shaken, one thing is not. God is not shaken. She added that the thing that is most needful is to do what the psalmist does later on. Be still. Be still and know that God is God. God is God, whether we recognize it or not. But it comforts us and infuses us with strength into our faltering spirits to rest on that truth. Amen. Our world can sometimes feel like it's falling apart around us. It can feel like there is no hope and we're not getting any help from the Lord and he is silent. We're crying out and there's no voice to be heard. We have a war going on in the Ukraine. Some people say this could turn into the Third World War. And it very well could. So what do we do? What do we do if it does? Do we fear? Do we run for our lives, hide in our houses? We have a family who lost their son in his 20s because of an illness that was unseen. We have Dayspringers who are constantly battling the waves of depression that makes them want to believe there's no hope and there's no help. We have Dayspringers constantly in pain with no real reason as to why the pain is there. All they know is they're suffering, but they don't know why. They don't know why they're suffering. They don't know why they're in pain. They just know they're in pain. And they want it to go away. In all of these things, is God blindsided? Did God just wake up one day and say, "Oh, this is new to me"? Did it surprise him? Well, no, it didn't. And it shouldn't surprise us. It shouldn't surprise us when we suffer. He knew exactly the moment when that suffering would start, and he knows exactly the moment the suffering is going to end. For verses 2 and 3 of our text says, "Though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, therefore what? Therefore we will not fear." We will not fear. Why? Because God is our refuge and strength. He is a very present help in trouble. So we can say in confidence that he does hear our cry for help, for those who call upon him in truth. Because our help comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from medication. It doesn't come from the sleep that we get from night. It doesn't come from a relief in our workload. But it comes from the Lord himself. The Lord Jesus Christ, who defeated sin and death and Satan at the cross, and then rose again on the third day in the full display of God's power and majesty, the same power that's within our hearts right now that strengthens us for each day to accomplish each task. I am making it through each day only because the Lord's help that he has given me. This semester alone for me has been tremendously trying for both Alyssa and I. We're both working 2 full-time jobs. I say 2, I am and she is. While I'm going to school and learning a foreign language I know nothing about, and preparing for Sunday school, and preparing for growth group, and leading worship, and helping other guys, and I have no strength in me. And I don't say all of this to lift myself up, but the contrary. I have no strength to do any of it. But I know it's the Lord who makes me strong each day. And I'll look back and I'm like, "Lord, I don't know how I've done any of this. Lord, I'm staying up till 12 o'clock at night, getting up at 5:30 in the morning. All I know is just you. Oh, Lord." He doesn't promise that our suffering will be removed. This is not the help that he promises. He doesn't promise that he will keep us from death. Death was promised to us. He doesn't promise that He will keep us from want, though He may give us things in life to prevent us from want. But what He will do is give us a want for Him. What He does promise is a preservation and a help that will last beyond this life and unto eternity. For those who fear Him, it is help that brings us onto our knees and gives us a full display of the gospel within and through our lives, so that when others see us, they don't see us, they see the risen Christ through us. That's the help that sustains us each day. If you look with me at verses 4 through 7, it says, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage and the kingdoms totter. He utters His voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." He is our eternal dwelling place, as Greg has been talking about through the series of Exodus. Our holy habitation that secures us and strengthens us and comforts us when everything around us seems to be falling apart. The city of God at this time was Jerusalem. There was a river that went through Jerusalem that sustained it. That was their source of sustaining, was that river that went through Jerusalem. But God is that river that runs. God is the river, the streams that gives us life. We look forward to the heavenly Jerusalem, where God will dwell eternally with His people. For this is not our home. The longings in this world only make us long for our true home. So the nations rage and the kingdoms totter. Russia may rage its war now, and they may very well win now. But our God will utter His voice, and all the kingdoms of this world will melt away. This earth will be done away with. The Lord will fully establish His kingdom, His eternal kingdom above all. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is King and Lord of Lords. So what shall we say then to these things? If God's kingdom is eternal, then what do we have to fear? For He has given us all the help that we need in Christ. If we lose everything, what have we really lost? Nothing. If we experience all the pain and suffering in this world that this world has to offer, what have we really experienced? The presence of Christ. The presence of Christ, because we share in His sufferings. Romans 8, 31 through 39 says this: "What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it was written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are being regarded as sheep for the slaughter. No! In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. What do we have to fear? And we say we don't have help. And so because of this, we can confidently say that the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He is our ever-present help in the midst of trouble. Just getting up out of bed each day is God's love and help to us. Just having the strength to get up each day out of bed, even if we've only gotten 5 hours of sleep that night. He gives us the strength for that day. He says to us, I will get you up and I will keep you going. The only thing I need from you is to be still and know that I am God. We have no strength. But he says, I will give you all the strength you need. Which leads us as dependent children of the Most High to a life of praise and exaltation of the Most High God. For the psalmist says, starting in verse 8, come, behold the works of the Lord. How he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. When we realize how dependent and needy we are upon our God, when we realize that He is God and we are not, our troubles become an outlived praise to our God rather than an opportunity for self-righteous neediness. His works are greater than ours and His ways are much higher. So when we don't see the end in sight for our suffering or see the reason why we are suffering, we can know and trust that our God will make all of it cease. Maybe not in this life, but certainly in the next. My dad would often tell me as a kid, when I was going through something difficult, he would say, son, this too shall end. And it was a great encouragement to me because it helped me see that the struggle was only temporary. And I'll tell you that if there was a preordained beginning, there was also a preordained end. Our troubles are only temporary. This life is momentary. The kingdoms are fleeting, but God is eternal. His kingdom is everlasting, and His help is ever present. His strength is everlasting. It doesn't fade. The earth will give way someday, but our God will not. For there is no beginning to Him, and there will be no end. Now, we're sitting here, and the Lord's encouraging us, and He's reminding us of who He is. 30 minutes after church, something happens to us. Life throws us a curveball. Our depression comes back, and it hits worse more than it ever has before. Our pain comes back with a vengeance, and it cripples us to the point of inability and exhaustion. Death comes knocking on our door. Finances accumulate more than we know how to pay off. What do we do? How do we respond in those moments? In all of these troubles, we can easily forget that our God has left us. But He hasn't. He has not left us, and His help has always been with us. So what should we do? As the psalmist says, we be still and know that He is God, and we're not. He's God. I don't know, Lord, why I'm going through this, but I'm going to trust You. I'm going to trust You to strengthen me through it. Father, I don't know why this is coming up. I don't know why there's so many finances. I don't know why I'm so weak. But I know that You are still here. And I know that You are faithful. We constantly remind ourselves of His word. And He will help us. He will be exalted among the nations. His name will be exalted in our hearts and among the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are weak and we are so needy, Lord. Lord, oftentimes we forget, Lord, that You are all-powerful and that You are sovereign, Lord, over all of these things that happen in life. Lord, I so easily like to take control of my circumstances and try to make them work out the way I want them to, Lord. But help me, Father, to be dependent upon You and the strength that You provide for each day. For You are God, Lord, and I am not. We are not God. Father, Your word, Lord, is our strength that gets us out of bed each day. Father, remind us of the cross. Remind us of Your Son who rose again on the third day and strengthens us, Lord, for eternal life. For that is our hope, Lord. That is what we look forward to, the day when all of our pain will cease and Your glory will be before us face to face. In Your name I pray. Amen.